Let's read together Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 39. In this second half of Matthew chapter 15, we have the account of our Lord's healing of a demon-possessed young girl, and also the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000, as well as the mention of many other healing miracles of the Lord Jesus. Let's begin by reading verses 21 through 28. Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Let's begin our study this morning with some background notes. In verse 21, we read, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon." This would be along the Mediterranean coast north of Israel, where Lebanon is located today. According to the gospel record, this was the only time during our Lord's public ministry that he was outside of Jewish territory. This again emphasizes the transition that we see going on here in these middle chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. In the early chapters of Matthew, the gospel of the kingdom was preached and presented to Israel. The promised and predicted kingdom of the Messiah was at hand because Israel's Messiah and king had arrived. But Israel rejected their king and his offer of the kingdom. In fact, they arranged his crucifixion. Now the gospel of God's grace would go out to the Gentiles and to the whole world. Once again, we see this prophetically portrayed in the events here in Matthew chapter 15. In the first half of the chapter, we saw the Lord's condemnation of the Jewish religious leaders. He referred to them as hypocrites and blind leaders of the blind. Remember that? Now, here in the second half of Matthew chapter 15, we see that the Lord turns away from this rejection, verse 21, and withdraws into the Gentile district of Tyre and Sidon. Here he heals the demon-possessed daughter of a Gentile woman. Notice that he does not go to the young girl, but heals her from a distance. Certainly, this adds to the prophetic picture that we have here of our Lord's present ministry in this Gentile world. And more we could give for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for the second half of Matthew chapter 15. Doctrinal point number one: the Lord rewards the persistent and humble faith of his followers. The Lord rewards the persistent and humble faith of his followers. In verse 22, the Gentile woman is called a Canaanite woman. In the parallel account in Mark chapter 7, she is called a Syrophoenician woman. Now, is this a contradiction in the Bible? No. Both accounts are true. The woman was Canaanite because her roots went back to the ancient Canaanites. She was a Phoenician because Tyre and Sidon were part of the ancient Phoenician nation. And she was a Syrophoenician woman because this area was now in the Roman territory of Syria. So no contradiction in these two accounts. Now, why did the Lord refer to this woman as one of the dogs in verse 26? That seems kind of harsh for the Lord to say, right? Answer: the Jews referred to Gentiles as dogs. The Lord wanted this woman to recognize that he was Israel's Messiah, and that she must be willing to take a humble position. However, the Lord opened the door for her to approach in humility. In verse 26, The Lord did not use the normal word for wild scavenger dogs that the Jews used for Gentiles. No, he used the word for little house dogs or puppies, and some of your translations make that plain. This Gentile woman picked right up on this and responded in verse 27, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs, the puppies, eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." In other words, "Lord, I'm willing to take the humble place as a little puppy in your house and just eat the crumbs." The Lord was greatly pleased with this response. And he said in verse 28, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. What a lesson for us. The Lord rewards the persistent and humble faith of his followers. Let me ask you this morning, are you willing to take the humble place before the Lord and be satisfied with the crumbs, as it were, from the master's table? That's the humble position we must all take in order to be saved. We deserve nothing from God. We are sinners, and God is holy. But if we come to God in humble faith and recognize that we deserve nothing and accept his free gift of salvation in Christ, then we will be saved. You know, there's also a lesson here for those of us who are already saved. Let me ask you, do you have a need in your family right now, as this woman did? Maybe in reference to your children or even your grandchildren? Are they all saved? Are they all walking with the Lord? Listen, just as this Gentile woman followed the Lord and cried out to the Lord and humbly submitted to the Lord, and then the Lord answered her and delivered her daughter from demon possession, so we will find that the Lord can answer our prayers for our children and our grandchildren and other members of our families. The Lord rewards the persistent and humble faith of his followers. Doctrinal point number two, the Lord meets the spiritual and physical needs of his followers. The Lord meets the spiritual and physical needs of his followers. Verses 29 through 39. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way." Then his disciples said to him, "Where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude?" Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, "Seven, and a few little fish." So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up seven large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. We don't know exactly where the feeding of the 4,000 took place, but from the parallel account in Mark chapter 7, we know it was in the region of the Decapolis. That would be on the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, this is not the same place nor the same event as the feeding of the 5,000. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000 are in both the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark. So these are two different miracles. And there are other differences besides where the different miracles took place and how many were fed in each miracle. In the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, there were 5 loaves and 2 fish and 12 small basketfuls left over. And in the feeding of the 4,000, there were 7 loaves and a few fish and seven large basketfuls left over. A different Greek word is used for the baskets in each case. So there were two miracles then, right? The miracle of the feeding of 5,000, the miracle of the feeding of 4,000. The main lesson in this wonderful and gracious display of the Lord's power is our doctrinal point. The Lord meets the spiritual and physical needs of his followers. Throughout our Lord's Galilean ministry, he was both teaching and healing. Look at all the miracles of healing mentioned here in verses 30 and 31. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Notice that these are not psychosomatic diseases that are being healed. No one could doubt the miraculous when crippled people could walk again and blind people made to see. And then comes this great miracle of the feeding of the 4,000. So with his teaching and healing and feeding miracles, the Lord Jesus took care of the spiritual and physical needs of the people who followed him. The same is true today. Whatever spiritual or physical needs you may have, the Lord knows how to meet those needs. Yes, the Lord can still heal people today. Now, if he so chooses not to literally heal your physical handicap, then he can restore your soul so that you can live with that physical handicap. Remember what the Lord told the Apostle Paul when Paul asked the Lord to remove his thorn in the flesh. I'm reading 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The Lord meets the spiritual and physical needs of his followers. What about practical application from this second half of Matthew chapter 15? Let's not be hard-hearted disciples. Let's not be hard-hearted disciples. Verses 22 and 23 once again. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. The disciples were annoyed by this woman shouting out after them. They were uncompassionate and hard-hearted. Are we like the disciples here? I mean, we love the Lord, but we don't like people to annoy us with their needs. And let's face it, some people can be quite annoying. Well, let's try to be compassionate, even with people who annoy us, because many of them have real needs that the Lord wants to meet, and he wants us to be involved. So let's not be hard-hearted disciples.